You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, folks. It's the ESO Pro Roundtable discussion. We're here again to talk about wrestling. And alongside me is my stalwart companion, Richard Ricky Tiki Tavi Yule, and our good pal, the roving reporter from Pro Wrestling with Pop Culture, Jonathan Jojo the Monkey Williams. And I, of course, am your host, John Morgan Neil the Horse. And we are going to discuss SummerSlam, which is just around the corner. One of the biggest linchpins shows of the WWE, and it'll be especially important this year because it'll be the last co-branded pay-per-view before, you know, after the split, and from then on until one of the other big shows. It's going to be all separate to SmackDown and Raw, and we got some pretty big marquee matches go along with that. And so we're going to talk about that. We also have an interview with CB Suave, indie wrestler, and who has made some appearances on ROH. And so anyway, that, and of course our wonderful game show with our wonderful lovely host Richard Yule, Name That Wrestler. So anyway, sit back, take a listen, and enjoy yourself.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
We're here at ESO Pro, and as always, we'd like to bring you interviews with those out in the business, especially on the indie level, because we want to promote as much the grassroots of wrestling as we possibly can. Our roving reporter, the one that has connections, is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and he has our guest today, who is an indie wrestler named CB Suave. So take it away, Jonathan.
All right. Well, the main reason I wanted to talk to CB is because we got one of my favorite times of year, Dragon Con, coming up. And Dragon Con Wrestling is kind of the kickoff for a lot of people. And CB Suave has been part of that in a unique way over the past few years. When I say unique, it's because he actually participates in the whole costuming cosplay aspect of Dragon Con, and a lot of the wrestlers,
fantastic.
A lot of the wrestlers don't really do that. They just do what they would do anywhere else.
I know one who ain't booty.
So, CB, first of all, Dragon Con Wrestling usually is Friday night. This year it is going to be Thursday night, which I believe means it is open to people who don't have to have a Dragon Con badge to get into the Thursday night events. Do you know anything about why they changed that or how that's going to affect anything as far as the show goes?
I'm not certain on why they changed it. I was told that they're doing, I guess, all the concerts and shows on Thursday. And then I assume Dragon Con will continue as it normally does on the rest of the event. As far as it affecting the show, at first I thought it was just, this is going to kill the crowd, but because I don't know how many people actually show up on Thursday. But if there's other things going on besides wrestling, I'm hoping that people will see it by walking by and want to check it out. So hopefully we'll have a big of a crowd as we usually do. So
yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, we're going to talk to Slim J next week, and he probably will have a little more insight on all that because he's more involved with the putting together of Dragon Con Wrestling every year. But since we got you now, I thought I'd see if you knew anything. But I guess let's, before we get into any more about that, tell people a little bit about yourself. I, of course, have seen you for a few years. You started out locally as CB Gibson, and then you formed a tag team with Tommy, what was his name at the time? I know it's Pinarelli now.
What do you say it was Tommy Morton?
Mm-hmm. At the time it was Tommy Daniels, and now it's, he goes by his real name, yeah, Pinarelli.
So you guys, and I think that's kind of when you changed to CB Suave and your persona changed a little bit. Anyway, just how did you get into wrestling? How did you come up with the CB Suave thing and get to where you are now?
All right, how I got into wrestling, I was in college at the time, and I came home just north of Atlanta, and WWE was having a house show. They were doing Raw and Phillips Arena. And, of course, like, I always watched it as a kid, and, like, that's me and my great-grandmother. That's, like, my fondest memories of wrestling was just watching WCW on Saturdays. But I went to a show, and I got goosebumps, like, as everybody was cheering and booing, and the guys would come out, and just, like, it really, I guess it really hit me then, like, you know, I want to give this a shot. And while I was in town, I went to a bar, and me and this guy just started talking, and wrestling got brought up, and he's like, yeah, there's a show in town, like in Winder. I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, if, you know, I told him I want to try it out, and he said, come up before the show starts, and they'll walk you through some things to see if, you know, if it's for you or not. So I went through the bumps, and the bumps, not sound cocky or anything, but they kind of came easy, like just the normal stuff. And I played music after that for about 6 to 8 months. And I debuted as Ironheart. I don't know where I got that name from. It's just what I picked. I came out in, like, Army Fatigues. It was July 4th, 2009 was my first match. And
G.I. Bro's cousin.
G.I. Bro's cousin, yeah. And that's funny. I was watching JBL Legend with Booker T just the other day.
I was too. I was too.
And so moving on from there, changed to CB Gibson and wrestled in just locally here at TNT and Clayton and FWF and Winder for a while. And then moved on to APW where I met Tommy. And that's where I first met Tommy, but we didn't tag then. Then just, you know, stayed around here for a while. I really, honestly, I didn't go about wrestling the proper way in the beginning. I think a lot of guys do that, but, anyway, me and Tommy formed up when we were at Anarchy, but it was still Anarchy, and Tommy Daniels and CB Gibson. And we honestly were just, I mean, Stephen Platinum said it, not directly, but indirectly in one of the podcasts that, you know, if you're getting called jobbers and the fans are chanting jobbers, and you're probably a jobber. And that's honestly what we were doing. We were just putting guys over and, you know, doing a job for them. And me and Tommy, just, I guess, from that kind of had a chip on our shoulder because, we knew it could work. We knew we weren't the best, and still have a lot to learn now, and a lot more back then. And I think both of us wanted, like, a little bit of a change. And Bill Barron suggested that Tommy go with his regular name as or his real name as Pinarelli, and I had pitched Suave, and I got Suave from a boxing game. Create a character. I didn't want them just to say player one or player two. So I got CB Suave from Omar Suave Evans, and that's how I got Suave. And just kind of tried to develop a character as the agent. And I've had tried being like a part-time escort and things like that to try and involve the character. But we formed a Hot Commodity as a tag team, and we were just talking, and he said something about Hot Commodity. I can't remember who said it, and then we just like looked at each other, and we immediately went to Bill. And Bill never really like jumps on right away, so he had to think about it, I believe, for a little bit. And he said, "Yeah, we can do that." And then they put us with John the Body Johnson as a manager, and did a little promo to change our name. And then we went on from there. Tommy had moved out of state to Florida here, I don't know, a couple years ago. So we had a big feud and split, and just been doing the Suave gimmick for a little while. And now I'm with the Get Along Gang with P-Dog Mike Posey and Marco Polo, Gil Quest, America, and Nina Monet, and trying to do our thing with Ring of Honor. So that's where I'm at right now.
Fantastic.
Just trying to.
So I've seen you guys on TV two or three times now on Ring of Honor, and one of them was very recently, like just a couple weeks ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that? Nashville?
That was in Concord at the, I say, Carrabba's Arena. Yeah, that was in Concord. Moose and basically heaved all of us out of the ring and gave Posey two spears, and that was it.
So how did the Get Along Gang come together? Because I know you guys were doing that locally a little bit before Ring of Honor.
Oh, man, let me see how this... me and Posey, they put me and Posey together first. Me and him really didn't have a name for anything, and he was doing the new rapper gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's P-Dog.
P-Dog.
Mike Posey is a former referee. He actually refereed like a couple of WrestleManias and refereed in TNA, I think, and then
I knew the name sounded familiar.
Yeah, referee Mike Posey. I always remember Taz saying. we did tag team for a little while, and then I can't remember what the reasoning was, but they added Raphael King and Devin Nicole to begin with.
This is also at Anarchy, right?
Yeah, it was at Anarchy. It was Marco Polo and America first. And then I believe Raphael and Devin. And then Gil Quest had just got added recently to the group. So it's kind of weird, though. We only really actually are together at Ring of Honor, and at Why We Wrestle. It seems like anywhere else we go, we're always doing our separate things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I haven't made it up there, but this podcast is not just about local stuff. So many people might not know Anarchy is a pretty big promotion in Cornelia, Georgia. It used to be NWA Wildside is where AJ Styles got his start, and tons of other people. So it is now. It is now Why We Wrestle. So you are still wrestling there since the change and everything?
Yeah, since the change, yeah, I'm still there. Things are just getting started there. Things are looking up, and just got to stick with it and keep moving forward to get it back to where it was, you know?
Right. So who would you attribute your... you know, who trained you mostly? I'm sure you went through more than one person since you started out at different places. And then being at Anarchy, I'm sure you learned a lot up there. But who would you attribute most of your wrestling knowledge and ability to?
All right. First, I'm going to say I got trained by Leatherface and Brian Titus. So that was the beginning. But mostly it was from Slim J. Right? Slim J has taught me a lot of stuff. And I would credit him to a lot of things that I've done and do. And we've become really good friends. But he would be the one that I'd attribute just about almost everything to, except for the beginning and the basic stuff.
So, like I mentioned before, he's been involved with kind of putting on the Dragon Con wrestling show for a while. So I'm guessing that's how you got involved. When did you start wrestling at Dragon Con?
Oh, this will be my fifth one, I think. So 4 years ago, he had just said, you know, come up there, you can be put in the Rumble. And I was like, cool. He was that him and Jacob Ashworth were telling me a bunch of stories about how crazy it is. And so I went up there to check it out. And I don't know if you remember Darkness or Chase Clea is his shoot name. Yeah. I think he couldn't make it. So I got his spot. And I got put in the first match, and I fell in love. It's like I fell in love with wrestling again. I was already in love with it. I didn't know I could fall like even deeper in love with it, because just the way the fans react to everything that you do, and they go nuts, and they are just there to have a ball, and they don't sit on their hands. They are up. They are just – they're crazy. Like, it's one of my favorite shows to do. Then the first year I didn't really have I was just CB Gibson. And then the second year I did a little, like have Doomsday character. And then when it really hit me, like, you know, you should be doing like old school, like paying homage to people, was, Macho Man Randy Savage. And I had a Miss Elizabeth come out with me, and that got over real well. The next year was, the Ultimate Warrior. And that was by far the craziest time I had there. Just the entrance alone. Like, I studied everything. There's not a lot to study from the Ultimate Warrior as far as moves go. But I was determined to get the entrance down, like running through the whole crowd, the fist pump that he does when he gets on the rope, shaking the ropes. It was insane. The next year was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Me and Strychnine tagged together, and it's always fun to drink some beers and give people stunners. And this year, I don't know, should I tell if I'm going to be this year or not? I don't know.
Yeah, well, you won't be surprised.
Can you do hints? Can you do hints that won't totally give it away? Or do you just want
to? I'll just go ahead and say it. Because I've already done it once this year.
That's each one of us guests.
All right, I'll give one of you a guess.
Okay, I'm going to guess.
Well, wait, we do a game show. We do a game show on every episode where you give us clues, and we'll see if we can
guess
it.
Yeah, that's right, Jonathan. There you go.
So
give one word clue. One word.
Yeah, give us one word clue.
Three one word clues. Uh-oh.
He must have said.
Three one word clues. All right. Let's go with lineage. No, I can't say that. I'll give it away. We'll go with a broader. We'll just say Florida. And so lineage, Florida, and fast.
Lineage, Florida, and fast.
This is harder than I'm always the host, CB. I'm the one that comes up with the clues. I'm not used to guessing.
Is this person dead or alive?
Alive.
So fast is speedy, I just take it. Lineage of Florida. Boy, I'm thinking a lot of things, but I don't necessarily get flat. The fast one threw me. I had all kinds of ideas when you said Lineage of Florida. I said, oh, it could be the history. Right?
Go with your gut. Go with your gut.
Well, I mean, no, I know this guy isn't fast. So the first thing I thought of was Barry Windham, but I know that ain't right.
I thought Ted DiBiase for some reason.
He's not from Florida.
Well, that's why I don't play the game.
He is in it, so.
All right, Jonathan.
I don't know.
Yeah, you stumped us, man.
I stumped us. All right. I'll say the name, then I'll give you my clues while I said the clues. Okay. It's The Rock.
Oh, well, yeah. Cool. Okay,
Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
There you go. Yep.
And unlike the last 2 years, I don't remember the Macho Man thing for some reason, but I remember Ultimate Warrior, and I was, you don't look like the Ultimate Warrior at all. But somehow when you put on the wig and the makeup and you had the mannerisms and you came out, and I was like, okay, it's the Ultimate Warrior. Then last year, Stone Cold, same thing. I know you wanted to do a bald cap thing, but that got messed up. But so you did, you had hair, but you had everything else down. You had, you know, the mannerisms and everything. So people loved it. So, but you actually look kind of like The Rock. You're not nearly as big, of course, but
right.
And here's the thing. I outthought myself, because even before we started doing the guessing and when you did the clues, my mind, when you said you did Stone Cold last time, my mind went, well, he may do The Rock next. And then you even gave me all the clues, even though I had The Rock in mind, and it led me to somewhere else. But anyway, that's fantastic. And by the way, I think this is the coolest thing, because, I mean, I did, you know, put out a clue or said a little comment about the fact that obviously Xavier Woods is known to go to conventions and he's a geek guy and he dresses up. I've seen others like some of the TNA guys have. I went to a con here in Texas and they were here and they were dressed up as Captain America and so on and so forth, you know, Daniels and so on and so forth. But I've never heard anybody do this. I mean, we've seen, you know, obviously wrestlers imitate other wrestlers, certainly in wrestling, but this is pretty cool that you're actually going to the show and you're doing that. That's a pretty nifty thing. I like
it. I feel like it's just my opportunity to pay homage to people that I've looked up to or that inspired me you know, along my wrestling journey.
I've only been to DCW one time, and it was actually when you were Ultimate Warrior. And that's one of the main things that I remember from the show. I had a great time, but that was fantastic.
May I request next year that you do Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'd love to do Michael Hayes.
No, Matt Sells used to be the Michael Hayes impersonator.
Yeah, true. All right, Colby, I guess we're going to let you. Oh, wait, is there something else, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, I want to know, is the Get Along Gang going to be at Dragon Con?
Oh, yeah.
I know several of the members will be there, but will P-Dog be there, essentially?
Definitely. I'll have to find out from you, from him this Saturday, and I'll let you know. I don't think Posey's ever been there since.
I honestly don't think Posey's
ever been there since I've been there. I think he might have been in the beginning, from the old DC day. Next thing is Ring of Honor September 24th in Atlanta. That's what our next get together is. So
that was my next question. So that's the Reloaded tour on September 24th, and so the Get Along Gang will be in full effect. I know that's a DVD taping, so. It won't be televised, unfortunately, but it'll be on DVD probably just within a couple weeks after that. Do you know who the opponent will be or anything like that yet?
No, I do not know who the opponent will be. I'm thinking I might try to shoot a couple promos to try and convince us to get a little tag team going on instead of P-Dog getting beat up all the time. Maybe both two people can get beat up, you know. that's my next like big goal, I guess you could say, is to actually be able to get into the Ring of Honor ring and actually have a legit like a wrestling match instead of just getting involved in a match. They see me at two seminars so far, and I plan on to keep going. So hopefully they'll see something in me to give me an opportunity. Hopefully sooner than later.
That'd be great.
We will see.
Well. Where else will you be wrestling in the next few weeks, and where can people find you online and social media and all that?
This weekend coming up, I have a big rematch at Peach State Wrestling Alliance in Carrollton, Georgia, against Kevin Blue for a No Limits title. There are no rules in that match except the pinfall or submission has to take place in the ring. Then the following weekend will be that Sunday will be PWX in Charlotte. I'm hoping to get on at least a pre-show up there because there's a lot of guys trying to get on that show. And going up there to help set up the ring, you know, pay dues, and hopefully I can get on the pre-show. So that's in Charlotte at 4 p.m. at, I believe it's the Escapade. That's what they call it. Then the next weekend is Dragon Con. No, it's not. I'm sorry. 21st. I'm getting my dates mixed up here. The next weekend. Oh. The 27th is Why We Wrestle. I believe it'd be the Get Along Gang versus the Lynch Mob, and they apparently they have somebody else coming with them to take us out. And then the next Thursday is Dragon Con, and I believe the next weekend after that I have off, and then we're back at it for a good little run. So,
great.
And then social media, Facebook, CB Suave, Instagram is CB Suave, and I don't have a Twitter, so Facebook and Instagram.
All right. Well, if I don't see you before Dragon Con, I'll definitely see you there.
All right.
And thanks for, I know this was kind of last minute. We were supposed to have you next week, but thanks for working with us, and thanks for being part of the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good evening.
Before we let you go, Colby, though, I'm known to ask the hard questions. I'm the one that asks the controversial questions. So I've got to know, are you actually kin to Don Knotts?
Yes, actually, I am. our families are from Ohio and West Virginia. My grandfather looks exactly like Don Knotts.
Fantastic. Great answer. I love it.
The only way you're probably questioning because of my skin color, that's just a sperm donor. But yes, I am actually related to Don Knotts. Not really close, but distant. But if you saw my grandfather, you would think it was his brother.
See, this is why you ask those type of questions, because sometimes you get the million, you get the, yeah, that's just beautiful. I love it. I'm glad to know that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Hey kids, are you looking for the next exciting game that will help you walk aimlessly around staring at your phone? Well, look no further, because with the success of Pokemon Go, professional wrestler Hulk Hogan now needs your help to capture his greatest foes over his wrestling career. That's right, with Pokemon Go, now you can scour the world to find such menacing foes as the Hot Rod, Roddy Piper, Zeus, Zodiac, Video Cameras, Bald Spots, Sting, The Lack of Tan Salons, Gawker, Earthquake, Thunderlips, Lawyers, and many more. Hulk Hogan has so many foes, you won't be able to catch them all. Also, look for Hacksaw Jim Duggan's Hackymon Ho! And Angry Finks, coming soon.
Welcome to Name That Wrestler, the game show where our contestants have to name that wrestler with just 3 one-word hints that are deemed capable of guessing the wrestler correctly by the commissioner. You all work as a group to come up with the answer, and you get one and only one answer. So the question is, can you all name that wrestler?
Welcome back to another episode of Name That Wrestler, and we once again have our contestants, John and Jonathan. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Howdy.
All right. You guys struggled a little bit last time, so we'll see if we can pick it up this time. Maybe these aren't as hard. I never know when these are written out, how they're going to do. So.
Well, I like them when they're challenging.
Okay. Well, we'll start off with this one. Let's see. The first Name That Wrestler question with your 3 one-word hints are imposter, sunglasses, and truck.
Imposter, sunglasses, truck.
Wow.
Is it a monster truck?
So these are very... So on the Name the Wrestler questions, these are very specific to not just a... You know, it's a gimmick, not so much the actual wrestler. You know, it's a gimmick that the wrestler had. So always keep that in mind, too.
Oh, Diesel.
Well, now I wouldn't accept that, John. You have to be more specific.
Oh, Kevin
Fake
Nash.
Diesel.
Fake Diesel.
Fake Diesel.
Yeah, Johnson's got it. Good for you, Jonathan. See? Yeah, of course, the imposter. Nah, come on. Fake Diesel, yes.
All right. Now we got...
Kane.
For the... yeah. Glenn Jacobs. Sir Isaac Yankum. Unabom. Anybody remember Unabom?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hey, he worked with Al Snow.
Yeah, that's Smoky Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next Name That Wrestler is Nephew, Underdog, and Curly.
Nephew.
I know it. I'm just blanking on the name. Eric Bischoff's nephew.
Damn it. Now I'm drawing a blank on his name.
I know his real name because he's a trainer at OVW, I think.
Big time trainer, yeah. Uncle Eric. Oh my god, I can't believe.
You're right there.
I know. Why? I was just listening to a couple of shoot interviews he did a few weeks ago to kayfabe commentaries. Eugene.
It is.
Eugene.
Would you have accepted Nick Dinsmore?
No,
believe they have a retarded guy training people at OVW.
Hey, I think that is very poor thinking of them.
And I also would not have accepted the letter U, a dash, and then Gene.
Yes, Eugene.
Because that's what he went by, I guess, to avoid lawsuits.
here's the thing that kills me is that, you know, this just shows you just how horrible, you know, all of the WWE people are, even the good guys apparently, that nobody took the time to help him zip up or button up his jacket right.
Nobody.
Well, the referee could just take, you know, 2 minutes and say, here, let me fix that for you.
All right, the final Name That Wrestler question is Trash, Belt, Trash, and Fire.
Oh, come on, Medusa. You know, yeah. Or
No, you're right. Don't mess it up.
Medusa. Right, yeah. Well, that's the name I always call her anyway.
Well, yeah.
A Lunderblaze, yeah. Medusa.
But she was Medusa when she threw the belt in the trash can.
Medusa Michele.
And then we come back to
Trust.
Yeah. The fire. Well, the fire was Blaze, I guess, in a way. Actually, I thought when I wrote these out, I thought that the trash can was on fire when she threw the belt in. But then I was like, "Well, Blaze works, you know."
But yeah, now we are back to monster trucks.
Yeah, because yes. She's a very successful monster trucker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I saw her. I mean, I didn't meet her, but I saw her a few years ago when I went.
If I was to ever meet her, I would love to ask her if you made more money with that than you did with your wrestling career.
I think she has.
I interviewed her on my old podcast, and the guy that was my co-host at the time asked her that, and she said she made a lot more money in wrestling.
Oh, really?
Well, the WWE run, I can see that.
Probably WCW, too, because that's when
they paid her a ton of money to come over there. For her to throw the belt in the trash can? That was not on fire.
As a matter of fact, that's probably one, you know, all the people, you know, we've done it here on the, but we're not really specifically aimed at that. And some might consider doing that in the future, doing a, you know, fall of WCW, or, and not just the fall, but the rise and fall of WCW and the stuff that we loved and hated about it. But and everybody's got their own things that they gripe about with WCW and where they went and how they did. That's probably one of my, if not my biggest beef, is that they wasted Medusa like that. They made a big deal of ever bringing her over, trashing the WWE title. They could have built their own women's division around that and then done another topping of WWE at the time, because they did have Medusa, but they were wasting her, you know.
Yeah, especially especially since after she did that, WWE's women's division went away for a few years.
Exactly. You know,
so WCW had a good women's division. They would have had that, over, you know, something different.
Yes, exactly. WWE started this thing back then. They did it with the tag team division for a long time, and they've done it with the women's division, where they basically had one gal and then a new challenger, you know, every once in a while. You know, they would change out, you know, she would have a feud with somebody, you know, and then they would change it out, and then, you know, the new person would come in and she would feud with them, but no other women on the freaking roster, really. And they did the same thing with that with the tag titles, remember, on SmackDown. That long run that the New Day just, you know, recently broke of, you know, London and Kendrick. But they would just stay. That's it. That was the entire division. It was them defending their title against the newest challenger. There wasn't any other tag team going on except for those, of course, put together tag teams and, you know, singles feuds or whatever. So, but that's a chance that Eric, Uncle Eric, could have. Actually done something and actually let you know, somebody take control of that and turn it into a good women's division. And there was a little bit of stuff going on at the very beginning, but obviously nobody there was into it any more than Vince is.
All right,
and
gentlemen,
that's my rant for the evening.
Oh, that's not it, because we still got the main show coming up. I'm sure you'll rant about something else.
Okay, that is my retro rant of the evening.
Retro rant. All right, thanks, gentlemen.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was fun. I love these. All right, guys, we're here, and SummerSlam is also almost here, and it's been one of the very biggest shows indeed. I think it's becoming as big in some ways as WrestleMania itself. Nothing will ever be as big. But, you know, WrestleMania has always had a reputation for, you know, sort of being the big celebrity show and so forth. And it hasn't been as much a case in the last couple of years. And SummerSlam has actually had. So I suspect that we're going to see a couple of celebrity stuff going on. But we don't really have any celebrity matches or anything. But SummerSlam does have some pretty big marquee matches. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, Jonathan wants to speak a little bit about Raw for the last couple of weeks. So take it away, John.
Well, yeah, 2 weeks ago on August 1st, Raw was in Atlanta at Phillips Arena. And I think that was only the second Raw after the brand split. And it was the return of Brock Lesnar, I guess, was the biggest thing that happened there. I mean, everybody that watches WWE has already seen it. So I just wanted to talk about some of the things I noticed, I guess. You know, as far as the new setup and things that weren't shown on TV and whatnot. So, well, first of all, they did some Superstars tapings, which, that is still on the network, correct?
I believe so. Yes. I don't think it's on anywhere else, but I think it is a network.
Yeah. Well, I won't spoil the outcome of the matches for those who actually still watch that show, but Neville wrestled, Curtis Axel. And then the Dudleys wrestled Sin Cara and Jack Swagger, which was an odd pairing.
Wow.
Very odd, yes.
Then they switched over to Raw. So as the Dudleys are going up the ramp, the Raw announce team is coming down the ramp. And they kind of chase Byron Saxon off the ramp, and he had to jump off the side and kind of scurry over to the announce table. Which was kind of funny. That's something you didn't see on TV, that they just, you know, something for the live audience. But I guess the main thing I noticed, my seats were kind of, stage right on the entrance ramp. So I was overlooking the commentator's table, and they're on this kind of riser thing that is just big enough for the table and the three of them. So when they had, I think Kevin Owens joined them at some point, or somebody joined them, when they had a fourth person out there with them, it was really cramped and crowded. And I was honestly afraid somebody was going to fall over the edge. So I don't know if they're, you know, thinking maybe they should make that a little bigger. But if anybody in WWE production world listens to this, that would be my suggestion. just so you don't have Michael Cole falling off the edge or something.
He's in the middle. He won't fall off. It will be Byron.
Yeah, it would be definitely be Byron Saxton. So the main thing was a lot of local wrestlers were part of the security thing when they when Cesaro and Sheamus had to be split up, and then of course when Randy Orton showed up, several local and regional wrestlers got some face time, you know, got to see themselves on TV. And then the next night on SmackDown, I think it was in maybe Tennessee or the Carolinas, I forget where, but again, some more local wrestlers were got to do security spots there. So good for them. It's always good.
Well, I assume also the ones that did the jobber matches. You do jobber matches?
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting to next.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Braun Strowman match. His opponent was Corey Hollis, who I mentioned when I reviewed the NXT show that was here a month or so ago. He's done a lot of work for NXT, and they refer to him as Corey Hollis, which is his name, and that's what he wrestles as on the indies. And he's still, you know, pretty big on the indie scene. I think he's still a tag team champion at PWX in Charlotte that CB Suave mentioned when we talked to him earlier. But anyway, he appeared previously on Raw when the is it the Rising Stars, the Shining Stars?
Shining Stars, yes.
When they made their debut, he was one of the guys in the other tag team.
Oh, okay.
Even though his gear said Hollis or Corey Hollis on it, they referred to him as Brian Kennedy.
Yeah, I remember, yes.
Then, at this Raw, when he was Braun Strowman's opponent, he was Evan Anderholm. So, not sure why they can't just stick with one name with him, especially, you know, he's already appearing in NXT as Corey Hollis. So, Why can't he just be Corey Hollis? But anyway, he got to be interviewed on TV and then be demolished by Braun Strowman. What else? Oh, the part, you know, when Randy Orton sneaks out from under the ring, that was pretty curious. During a commercial break, all these guys in security shirts or whatever came down to the ring, and I guess they kind of made it look like they were changing the ring apron or doing some adjustment to the ring or something. So I guess that was when they snuck Randy Orton under the ring. He must have been in the middle of this pack of people that went down. So that was obviously, again, something you didn't see on TV. But it was kind of funny, the dark match, the post, you know, the dark main match that happened after Randy Orton attacked Brock Lesnar and then ran up into the crowd. This was previously advertised, so I guess they kind of had to stick with it, even though it featured people who are now on SmackDown. And I thought it was kind of weird, because there was the whole thing with Randy Orton, you know, basically the Raw locker room cleared because it was kind of like an invasion. So they were, even though none of them are, you know, all these Raw guys are not on the same page, or they might be rivals, they're coming to protect Raw from this SmackDown invader. And then as soon as they get backstage, you get John Cena and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. You know, two of which are on SmackDown now, coming out to take on AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins. So, I don't know. I guess, like I said, that was probably because it was previously advertised before the brand split. They kind of had to stick with that match, but it was just kind of silly for these guys to come out to defend Raw from SmackDown and then pass SmackDown guys as they're coming out for the dark match. But anyway, so that was an entertaining match. AJ, you know, the three members of each team came out individually. So AJ Styles came out first for his team, and he took his jacket off and dropped it on the stage before he came down the ramp. And then when Seth Rollins came out, he put AJ Styles' jacket on and wore it down to the ring. Not sure why, but it was entertaining. And then, you know, it was a good match. Cena, Reigns, and Ambrose won the match. I think Ambrose was the one who got the win, which was good since he's
the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Didn't look weak leaving. But that's pretty much that. It was a great show, I thought. I don't know if... I know a lot of people were not happy with the most recent Raw, but I haven't really read... Most of the stuff I saw on social media were people seeing their friends in the security shirts and stuff after that. So I don't know if it got any negative feedback. But when Brock Lesnar came out with Paul Heyman, of course, that got a huge pop. And then when Randy Orton showed up, the place exploded. So I haven't seen... Honestly, the whole show was kind of hot. The crowd was hot. And I think, you know, something about the whole brand split and everything that's going on kind of reinvigorated it a little bit. Because a lot of times when I go see WWE shows, the crowd just is kind of sitting there observing a lot of the time, and they kind of have to prompt the crowd sometimes during commercial breaks to, you know, the cameras are going to be rolling again, get out of your seats and stuff like that. But anyway, that was that.
Did the W still look like an M in person, an upside down M?
Yeah, it does. I don't think that's ever going to stop bothering me.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks for giving us a little live look there.
See there, folks. Our roving reporter gives you the live interviews and on the spot stuff from all over. So yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah, I guess that leads into... thanks, man. You add a lot to the show by bringing all this information to us.
Oh, yeah, just that eyewitness reporting. Yes, thank you, Richard. I mean, not Richard, Jonathan.
Well, you're welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, too, Richard, for what you do, but you didn't do that. That was Jonathan, so he gets that credit.
All right, so that leads us into SummerSlam, guys. What are your any immediate thoughts about SummerSlam and...
This is kind of connected to it because, I mean, he is one of the major parts of the show, and he is our current WWE champion. I haven't seen it yet. I guess, like I said, I've been incredibly busy. That's why I haven't saw Raw or SmackDown. I'm way behind. I'm usually up on this stuff, but I haven't watched anything. But, you know, I keep hearing and I'm seeing other and listening to a couple of little snippets from other podcasts. But apparently this interview with Stone Cold and Dean Ambrose was a little wonky or off or controversial or just different. So I don't know if either one of you actually saw that and what you might think about.
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've meant to watch it all, but I've seen video clips of a series of questions. I mean, I've probably seen about 15 minutes of it, 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was as off as everybody was saying. I mean, Dean Ambrose is just kind of weird. I mean, in every interview I've ever, he's very laid back. He's very, you know, I mean, I just didn't think it was all that weird. Stone Cold, I mean, he answered Stone Cold's questions and gave good answers. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I missed something, so maybe I should go back and watch the whole thing.
Do you see any of it, Jonathan?
No, I'm downloading it right now so I can listen to it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I guess that's enough there. But, I mean, I guess it's interesting because it's obvious, I mean, the reason I bring it up somewhat is because there's some people who have been very dubious about, you know, that they're really backing Dean and that he is going to be the big guy and that he is going to continue being WWE champion. And all that and the other, it just seems to me that everything is being shown that they do believe in the guy and so on and so forth. And I haven't seen the podcast, so I didn't know if it was all Dean, if it was all Stone Cold, or if it was a combination of both, and if any of this could be damaging to Dean. That's what I was kind of curious about. But I guess
I don't think it'll be any more damaging than anything else. I just think it made him look more laid back than anything.
That brings Dean's real personality out and allows him to do, you know, which apparently he mentioned that he doesn't like the scripted promos, and I could see why. Because that's a waste, you know. Let Dean be kooky, weird, laid back, whatever the heck.
And
he might have
felt on the spot of like what to say and what not to say and such. You know, you never know.
Well,
and,
you know, one of the things that I heard is that Stone Cold was asking, you know, some, you know, personal questions, which he does. That isn't anything new. But there's some people who are more comfortable with that than others. And I have noted that I don't think Dean is very comfortable with some personal questions.
Oh, I don't think he is.
And his relationship with Renee and all that and the other. Renee also dodges that stuff, too. You know, there's some people that don't like to talk about their personal relationships, you know. Yeah. Unlike John Cena and Nikki Bella or whoever. But
you got to be on Total Divas to do that.
Right. And I just think Don doesn't ever talk about it, you know, but that's neither there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was just an interesting sidebar. But let's, what's her first match? Let's run down the SummerSlam and let's have.
I don't know what the order is going to be, but they add, the first one I'll mention might, of course, they sometimes do the big match for it, but the one they mentioned on Raw, I'm pretty excited about actually. It's the Best of Seven series. And they're doing that between Cesaro and Sheamus, who I think Sheamus has been on spot as a heel. I mean, I know people give him grief, but man, I mean, he gets that crowd riled up. I mean, he gets a reaction out of him.
I'm glad that you brought that up because it goes back to something we were discussing, you know, earlier off the air. Whereas there are just some fans who just once they decide on something, and it's interesting because both SmackDown and Raw are doing this, and they have to. And I think this is one of the best things that one of the things I said that was one of the good things for the split is that it will allow them to reinvigorate some of these people who have been sort of at the middle card or top of the middle card that have gotten stale or whatever. Sheamus is certainly one of those. The fans have turned on him. They didn't want to see him anymore, but he's good. He could talk. He has a great look, a very unique look, and he could work his ass off. So what are we going to do? Just show him away, throw him away, let TNA use him, whatever? No. You use him.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Ziggler. Ziggler's exactly the same thing. Ziggler, you know, got to the point where nobody cared about him, you know. And now they've got him in the program, and he's doing great promos, and we know he can wrestle. So all that stuff is good. And I like this idea because Sheamus can go. That's something nobody, for whatever reason, because, I mean, he was pushed for a while, and he's a big guy, and he's Triple H's buddy, and whatever, blah, 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 blah. The main important thing is that he can actually wrestle. He can wrestle well. And he puts on good matches with guys that can also put on good matches. And matching him up, you know, with Cesaro, with his two strong, very good workers, and so on and so forth, in a series seven match, I ain't going to say that it's going to be, you know, Booker T and Benoit or anything like that. But, I mean, it has the potential to be pretty special because these guys are going to go out there and they're going to try to top themselves each and every freaking time.
Well, and it gives them something to do over the next couple months, you know. It gives them something special to be a part of. So I like it.
Yeah.
What about you, Jonathan? Any thoughts on that one?
On Sheamus and Cesaro?
Yeah. Yes.
I've enjoyed it. I like that, you know, they're Stephanie and mostly Stephanie, I guess, is acknowledging their comments about being overlooked and all that. The stuff we talked about on a previous show, I think, with Cesaro saying he wished he'd gone to SmackDown because it's more of the wrestling show. You know, kind of that stuff we've talked about a few times now, playing with reality and using that to make the show better. I've liked it so far. So it's a best of seven that's going to conclude at SummerSlam?
No. It starts at SummerSlam. So the first one, yeah, they just announced it last night on Raw. It starts at SummerSlam. It was one of the backstage. It was one of the things that Hulu did show me. But Mick Foley, I think Mick Foley announced it. It'll start at SummerSlam. And they didn't say when it'll end. I assume that they'll do, you know, one on a Raw and maybe lead into the next pay-per-view and stuff, maybe concluding around Survivor Series.
I've been waiting for them to dust off this because each time that it's been used, it's been pretty damn good. I mean, you know, legendarily wise in WCW, of course, was the Booker and Benoit, and hell, even going back to Magnum TA and Nikita, you know. So it's a good concept when you get these really, when you present the idea that these guys are very evenly matched, you know, one the fans are with, one the fans aren't as much with. And you just truly, that's where you, where wrestling, I think, has in occasions really blurred that line between, you know, what's real sport and what's, you know, forced entertainment. Because it becomes more like a sporting event, because you have these two guys that are truly competing each other for sheer pride and outdo each other. And usually there's less shenanigans because of that. It's just a straight up, you know, who can out wrestle each other. And I've always enjoyed those, and you got two really good talents, I think, that gimmick or that thing works very well for.
I
like the Orlando Jordan one. Wasn't that with Benoit as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
It was
years ago.
Yes. Yes.
I would say Sheamus is my favorite heel right now, except for this next one, who Rusev has been killing it lately. I love this feud with Roman Reigns that he's got, which is going to be for the United States Championship. And I think Rusev is just great. And they gave him and Roman the main event spot last night. And I think it's helped Roman. I think Roman's looked good. I think he's gotten he was getting more cheers than boos last night. And the Lana, did anybody see the Lana wedding cake fiasco?
Yes.
It was great. I loved it. I thought it was such a throwback. And her reaction.
Oh, I was about to say, she played that perfectly.
She like made perfect. It more of a mess as she was down in the cake, I think. And then by the time she got up, it just looked awful.
And I loved, I mean, I've seen that done a million times, and sometimes, you know, the bump looks fine and it doesn't. I just love how it worked, Aubrey. Basically, she just got butt bumped, you know, by Rusev.
Yep.
And the cake. It was great. Yeah. And Rusev's reaction, you know, like, oh my God, you know, this big, huge brute. And he's just like, oh no, you know, it's like, you know, like a big guy would with, you know, he's caused mischief to his, you know, little gal. Yeah, I agree with you. Rusev has been doing a great job as a heel. And Sheamus has definitely. And Sheamus was before. Sheamus lost his way with the writing and so on and so forth. But I knew the night of the draft, and he did an interview there at the table on the internet. I really liked what Sheamus was saying and doing in a way. His demeanor had changed, and it was different. And I was happy to see him take that with him on the actual show. And Rusev has just been just killing it. I can't say that either one of them are my favorite heel, because later on we're going to talk about my two favorite heels.
Well, I know who those are, which I would agree. But I just think Sheamus and Rusev, they don't get any love really. And I, you know,
you're absolutely right. And you know, I'm
Rusev as the United States champion is just great. I love the concept of the foreign wrestler having the U.S. championship.
Yes. I'm totally with you. I mean, spread the love, because these guys are doing a good job, and I want them to get the kudos they deserve as well.
Jonathan, did you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, well, that seems to be one of the negative reactions to last night's Raw, was that was the main event. But I thought it was a good match. I like the guy, the way they work together. I think it's
the negative there was not against, you know, Rusev. That was against Roman.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it might have been a combination. I mean, Roman is the enemy of the States, you know, so to speak.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it had anything to do with the quality of the situation or anybody else involved. I just think that, you know, Roman being at top, because that's what I heard. The one who says, well, you've got the world champion, universal champion, and so forth, but who's at the top of the show? Roman Reigns. Blah, blah, blah,
but,
blah.
But this is the best spot for him right now. Yes. I mean, in the U.S. title picture.
Yeah, and I like that Rusev keeps saying, I am this show's champion.
Yes.
He's not acknowledging the universal title at all. He sees himself as the
Dean Ambrose of Raw.
Well, as of right now, he is. I mean,
why
until Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I like that. That's beautiful. You know, he does little things like that. You know, I really do. I have loved Rusev from the very beginning. You remember when he took the moniker? You know, when they attacked the New Day at ringside and they destroyed the tables and he took one of the monitors?
Oh.
It's like a keepsake.
You know, I love the League of Nations. Like I think the League of Nations, if they had a manager, you know, the thing that WWE doesn't believe in, I think they would have done a lot better than what they did.
I think you're right.
I think that was the main problem is you had Sheamus as the spokesperson.
Yeah.
And he didn't need to be.
No. No.
I was hoping they would do something like that a few years ago with, with Sheamus and Barrett and Cesaro. I forget. It seems like there was someone else that I thought would be a good fit that isn't there anymore. But probably Drew.
Galloway.
Drew Galloway now. Yeah. What was his? Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. The Irish guy.
Oh gosh, or I can't even. Drew Scottish McIntyre.
Guy. Oh, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was a few years back. I was hoping.
I agree. I was thinking
some
the
kind
same
of European
thing.
Faction.
Yes.
And they, but they still would have needed a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
As any good faction does.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, rarely, you know, the DXs and NWOs don't. Of course, NWO really had Bischoff there for the long time. But DX never. They never really had a spokesperson other than the wrestlers themselves.
Somebody that could have been a great spokesperson, and he was foreign, would have been Kevin. But Kevin just. I like him working with other people, just like he's doing with Jericho now, only in that I know eventually he's going to screw him over. Because Kevin's only really after Kevin, you know.
Do you want to go ahead and talk about that match?
Sure. Well, I said we're segue into that, but I was also thinking, but they could have hired Lance. No, Lance Storm, he could have done it. But anyway, they could go ahead.
Oh, gosh. Poor Lance Storm.
William Regal would have been a perfect manager.
Oh, gosh, he would have been great.
Who? Oh,
Regal. William Regal.
Oh, yeah, Regal. Yeah, that would have been perfect. There you go.
Oh, yeah, would have been absolutely
Regal would have been
wonderful.
The perfect leader of that faction. Yeah, there you go. All right, so let's talk about Jericho.
Yeah, what an unlikely alliance.
It makes perfect sense, though, because they're both Canadians, and there's that big, broad thing. And, but they've been sort of dealing with each other for months now, going back to the big four-way IC title thing that was going on there for a while between them and Cesaro. Actually, it was six-way. And there was kind of like a time when they were getting along and time when they weren't getting along. And it just comes off so genuinely real because these two guys are two of the best talkers in the business and personal-wise and their characters. And it's just been delightful the way that they've just had this back and forth of, you know, frenemies. And of course, Jericho, whose new character is just slaying me in that old thing where he's making things up badly.
Yeah.
And like where he was like saying, well, I can get a partner since he's in this thing with Enzo. And of course, and this is so classic wrestling in the fact that they both have this issue with Enzo and Cass, but they're solo. And Enzo and Cass are a team. So it just made sense for them to combine. And, of course, you know, KO basically forcing the issue when he realized that, you know, when it's obvious that Jericho had nobody to back him up. So KO says, okay, I don't like these guys either, so we'll take care of business. And that, to me, just adds another level to it all. It makes it all seem more real. And it makes it, and it's just like, you know, these aren't the best of friends, and they certainly are not teammates, but they have a common issue. And it's just fun watching them work with each other.
Yeah. Jericho and Enzo were cracking me up at the Raw in Atlanta.
Yes, where they're back. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Especially when Jericho said, you need me to spell it out for you.
Yes.
And last night, Owens was saying, there's no A, there's no W.
Yes.
And like,
yes.
Like, they can't even spell it.
Yes. And this is why this is just a fantastic feud on that level. I mean, it's going to be great. I mean, you know, you got really good workers all the way around there, but man, the verbal wars between KO and Jericho and Enzo is just sweet. You just can't beat it. And so, yeah, it's just been a lot of fun, and I can't wait for the match. I'm sure that it's going to be a lot of fun. And that somehow another KO is going to walk out on Jericho, or unless they're going to extend the program, which I hope they do. But if they don't extend the program, KO is going to screw over Jericho.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll extend this program. This might be the end of it, and then it'll set up into giving Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho something to do for a while.
And I don't know. I mean, I mean, Jericho is not going to go with face, and I don't know if it's too early for KO to do it yet or not. But
I find it interesting that they put him against Enzo and Cass just because, you know, they put Enzo and Cass ever since the draft and ever since they've come into Raw, like, against big names. You know, AJ Styles, The Club, they're not going against the shining stars, you know? I mean, no. They're putting them... And I wonder if it's sort of a setup for, you know, an eventual breakup, which I don't think is on the horizon, but, I mean, I think this is just priming both of them, especially Big Cass, because he had a single match with Kevin Owens, I believe, last night. Right. So that, you know, where he normally wouldn't have a singles match, and especially against somebody like Owens.
Right.
So I think it's interesting to see their path in all this, and I do enjoy it.
Well, I think that it's very obvious that when they first came up, that they were just injecting them to be just another tag team into the tag team situation. You know, as they were part of the tournament and so on and so forth. Well, that kind of got off kilter for a couple of reasons. One, I think it surprised even maybe the most ardent fans of Enzo and Cass that they were hot from the second they stepped out. Somehow or another, more than just about anybody I could think of that's come from NXT, their hotness, their overness transferred almost, you know, without any loss whatsoever. And that's not been the case with all of them, you know. But when Enzo and Cass came out, they popped, and they popped hard, and they continued popping hard. And I think they adjusted a little bit because they realized that we got something here. And then Enzo got hurt. And so then you had that short little run of Cass being a singles guy, sort of.
Yeah.
And then we found out that Vince is really big on Cass. And I have no doubt in my mind that Triple H is high on Enzo. So you've got two guys here that are future stars. And so since they are, they're just treating them that way, and they're having them work with other stars and not get mixed up and lost in the tag team division or whatever. So, and I think it's working because Enzo and Cass are just getting bigger and bigger.
I mean, as good as Kevin Owens is and as good as some of these other people are on the mic, Enzo is just killing it.
Enzo is something else entirely.
He is just great.
He is.
So. I mean, he doesn't have to repeat himself. He just comes up with all the... I mean, even the things that you would think would become one-liners don't. You know, he just comes up with so many. They're so fast.
You get into danger when you compare too much. It's like everybody always wanted to call Dean, you know, the new Stone Cold or whatever. He's Dean.
Yeah.
You know? But there's obviously similarities, things that make you think, and it's just an easy handle. So I'm going to do that now, but obviously there's a vast lot of differences. But as far as that particular thing we're talking about, he is the new Rock. Enzo is definitely the new Rock in the way that he works the verbal magic that he does and how fast he is and how intricate he is. I mean, ain't nobody can do what Enzo does. There's others that are, I think, as good in the way that they do it. Owens is fantastic. He gets his character across, but he's a completely different style.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that verbal, you know, machine gun way that Enzo can do and that quickness and sharpness. And so it's really fun to watch.
Yeah. You could compare him to an early Jericho. Jericho's changed over the years, but definitely.
Well, that's why it was really a treat to see him work with Jericho like he did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Jericho was hanging with him, and that was fun stuff. Yes.
All right. Well, we can stay on the tag team match circuit, and we can go to the New Day, which is just Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Well, for one thing, I'm happy that Xavier's getting the wrestle.
Yeah,
that's the only problem that I have had with the New Day is that for whatever reason, they've went with almost a default Kofi and Big E as the ones that do the wrestling. And I could see that because Xavier's probably, they're all good on the mic, but I think Xavier's got the edge there.
Yes.
Certainly character-wise, and he's in the way that he worked the ring, around the ring, so on and so forth, sort of manager-wise. But he's damn good in the ring, you know. And actually, he's my favorite of the three in the ring. Kofi's certainly the most athletic, and the things he does are amazing. So, I mean, I love watching that. Big E is just athletic and just crazy, you know, just that big body and the way he moves it around, so on and so forth. Again, fun to watch. But Xavier is the best worker.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, a lot of people always want to say work great. That's a different thing. You know, somebody can do all the flippy and really fast and it's all amazing and spectacular. But the guys who can actually work the story of the match. And we saw with that excellent feud they had with the Wyatts that Xavier is just really good at working his character and working the story in the match. You know, and I just really love watching him, and so I want to see more of that.
Jonathan, did you see the New Day and Luke and Gallows and Anderson skit last night? Or not skit, but
yeah,
their segment.
Yeah, I've loved it. I love the the doctor thing, especially when they say Dr. Gallows.
Oh yeah. So John, you have to see it. So they go on the screen and it's Gallows and Anderson, and they're in doctor's uniforms. And they in a lab with like stuff behind them, and their gimmick is the ring postitis, you know, since they since Big E, they crushed, you know, the middle section of Big E there. And so it reminded me of the Attitude Era, because the whole segment was just, it was Vince McMahon just cackling, I bet, because it was all innuendos about them being doctors. We're gonna crack the nut of ring postitis, and we're gonna
they even made a taint reference. I forget what it was.
Our results will not be tainted. Yeah,
it's like they just work in like sack or any kind of reference to testicles.
Fantastic. So they're breaking these guys loose.
They were.
And it's good because it just shows, because we saw, you know, a few months back a couple months back where when they did get a little loose and they were in that thing with Jonathan, I mean, they trended. They created this new trending thing with the beat up John Cena, you know.
Crazy about them when they came in, but man, they are really, really growing on me.
I need to go look at that. I need to watch the show, but I want to look at it first. But I'm telling you here, this is my prediction. We haven't done our predictions.
We'll do those. I thought we'd save those at the end.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
We'll do them very quick at the end.
They're going to win. Go ahead.
Well, that would break the New Day's had it for over a year, haven't they?
They've already broke the record. So
I thought they lost and then re-won them very quickly at one point.
But this is dating back to when they won them back from the primetime players way back last year. So yeah.
So they had a reign, and
then they lost it, and then they got it back, and then that's this one.
Yeah, that's why they say they're two-time champions. But yeah, this is dated back from when they won it back from the primetime players.
SummerSlam.
A year ago. Yeah, SummerSlam. Yeah. So, it's time for them to lose them. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think Gallows and Anderson would be great to have them too. So.
Callaway, yeah, I agree.
Well, since we're running on a theme here, we can just go on with the other member of the club, even though they don't really call him that anymore. With AJ Styles taking on John Cena, and this will be without the club or anything.
Is that a stipulation?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, just I guess it's the first. This is the first time John Cena and AJ have faced each other without since the brand split, I guess, is my thinking.
Right, but they're going to be there, so
yes, they could yeah. They could interfere during it.
I wouldn't be surprised if AJ just, you know, there's a new club member is introduced or something like
that's
that.
That's what I've been waiting to. I would like that to happen. I would like there to be a new club guy or a couple of club guys that, you know, get revealed there. And then they build on this whole idea that, hey, we're not separated. You know, they're there, I'm here, but the club is in both places. You know, they're going to handle things over there and I'm handling things over here. And he hits him a new toady or a couple toadies to, you know, deal with stuff over there. So who that would be, I don't know off the top of my head, but I think that I would like that. Yes.
I'm sure yeah. This will be a great match because, I mean, it's John Cena and AJ. I mean, you know, Cena's
all
a great wrestler.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, Cena is great.
What's the win loss between them now? Is this like a rubber match or?
I think AJ won the first one. The second one was actually a tag team match, six man, and AJ took the pin from an AA off the top rope on that one. So it is a rubber match. They've got one win each. Yeah.
But they could. This could be the second. It's only their second one-on-one pay-per-view match, right?
That's
so there
correct.
Could be a rubber match at WrestleMania or something.
Very possible. Yes. Very possible. And you know, this is a potential. I mean, already it's there. And if they build this correctly, this could be a feud of the ages. It really could. It's already got, you know, the reactions that they've had in those first two meetings. And even when they were just meeting in the ring when the first time on Raw, the crowd was just totally into it. And they put on these incredible freaking matches. And people are really into this. And you know, you kind of cool it off for a while, and they all go off and do a couple other things differently. You know, I know John's got some other stuff coming up. He's going to be gone anyway. So you have AJ feud with somebody else or do some other program. And then, you know, later he comes back, you just reignite it again. It's just like some of the great classic feuds in the past. You know, they come and go and come and go. But there's just something about this particular two people. They just can't avoid each other, and they continue continue the war, basically.
And just to make John happy, let's go ahead and talk about Sasha Banks versus Charlotte.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw it, but I posted that the WWE people that were at the Yankee Stadium, you know, the
Big Show. I saw Big Show, but I didn't watch it.
It was Big Show. Well, see, that's it. You just turned it off. See, you're doing the same
I
thing.
I saw
that's
Big Show, and I was like, ugh, I can't even stomach it.
But it wasn't just him. It was Mark Henry and Charlotte and Enzo and Cass.
No.
And the fun stuff was from Charlotte. Because it's obviously her and Big Show are buddies. And Big Show, you know, think about it. Remember, Big Show can be incredibly talented and funny. And
that's
he
true.
Was exactly being that in this. He was teasing Charlotte. And like this guy comes up here, it looked like he was a player or maybe, you know, one of the people that worked for the Yankees, but he was in uniform partially in a t-shirt. He comes up, he wants a picture with Big Show. So, you know, Big Show does a picture with him, so on and so forth. And then he goes, where are you from? And he said, Florida or whatever, or North Carolina. Anyway, but basically, then Big Show says, hey, I says, are you single? And he goes, Charlotte's from there too. It's Charlotte. And of course, that he bears the Charlotte. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Charlotte was looking fantastic, by the way.
So one of the stipulations of this match is that Dana Brooke is barred from ringside, which they teased a split up between the two, and then it turned out to be a swerve last night. And so there you go. Sasha's grown on me, so that's good. I liked her last night on commentary during the match, so.
I don't think I ever got what it is that you just didn't like about her. You didn't like the...
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't like Paige either, so.
You don't like Paige?
No.
Okay, we can't be friends anymore, Richard. That goes too far. I'm sorry.
Speaking of Paige, is she injured or something?
Yes. Yes, she is. As a matter of fact, that was interesting. It's this again. This goes into this how fandom, online fandom works. Apparently, of course, there was the romance between her and ADR. Then they got split to different things. And you know how the rumor mills goes that, they were together and then they're punishing them for being together and they're putting them on different brands. And then that's why she's, off the, not being, getting any matches on TV and la, 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 la. And actually, a lot of this stuff was going on Twitter and so on and so forth. And apparently, Paige's mother got real upset about it. And she posted on her Twitter saying, she's injured. Before you all start shooting off your mouth about you looking in, to some of this stuff, so on and so forth. She's off TV because she's injured. So anyway, that was an interesting little blow up there. But what is it? I'm just so curious. I don't want to derail the show, but I'm just curious what it is that you don't like about those.
I mean, I don't know. I just can't.
Is Sasha too ghetto for you?
No, no. I don't know. I don't know. I probably just haven't watched her enough, to be honest. But I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know. Are you just talking about their personalities, their voices, their look, or whatever?
Yeah, kind of a total package.
There's no question of their ability in the ring, especially Sasha.
Question. I mean, honestly, most wrestlers in WWE, you're there for a reason. You can probably wrestle in some capacity. So my feeling on liking wrestlers are just a total thing, just everything put together. Paige, I don't think she's a good talker. I just don't. But Sasha, I think, has gotten
better. So you don't like English people.
Hey, now I just put over William Regal. What else do you want from me?
He's goth though. Huh? Oh, wow, a goth William Regal. My God, boggle. So anyway, so I love Sasha, and actually and many people think, and I don't know whether I can actually argue this, Jonathan can weigh in on this if he so wants to, I do think that Sasha is the best the WWE has in the women, certainly, as far as in-ring ability. There could be an argument Charlotte is there with her and Bayley is there with her. And some people might throw even Becky in there. So I don't know, but there is a smoothness and a style I always said, if Charlotte is Ric Flair, then Sasha is Ricky Steamboat.
I think Becky's grown the most.
I agree. That absolutely is true. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I don't agree with that at all. I think she often is kind of sloppy looking.
That is a fair thing, and you're all right. She has some growth to do. But I think when she's on her game, she's absolutely fantastic. But you are correct, and it's a fair criticism in that she has had botches. She even had a botch in that fantastic Raw match where she won the title.
Yeah, she dove out of the ring and landed on her face.
That was very scary there. That's a fair, absolute fair criticism of that. And that is a criticism that I have with a lot of these guys. They need to not do that stuff. I mean, I don't want to see Big E do that one jump through the ropes ever again. I just don't want to see
anybody jump through the ropes. They've been doing it lately.
Yeah, but Big E more than anybody, because that's a big-ass body going through there, and it's just going to break something before, too long. But anyway, nevertheless, so that is a fair criticism, Jonathan, I think. So, who do you think is the best WWE gal?
Even though she doesn't get treated as such, I think Natalia's great.
Yes, she is, of course.
Who else is there? I'm trying, aside from the ones you already named. I think Becky Lynch is good. I've enjoyed the Eva Marie.
That's a good segue, because I think that Eva is the best damn heel right now.
And, she's definitely got the most heat.
they are playing that perfectly. You know, it's just the classic, pro wrestling work. I mean, you accentuate the positive and cover the negative. I mean, we know the most negative thing about her is she can't wrestle.
So she doesn't.
And you continually give these lame excuses for her not do so. And then your little, babyface Becky, can't get at her, and it drives the fans crazy. It's perfect booking.
And she's got the perfect theme song ever.
Yes.
I love her entrance.
It's a fantastic entrance. My only problem with her entrance is that she needs to ditch the white robe, because it goes completely against the all red. So,
I also think it's weird that they talk about the all red thing, but she's on the blue show.
Yes.
Good point.
But I love the way JBL talks her up, like, she's the best wrestler ever.
Greatest ever and ever and ever. It's so beautiful. It's just
he actually perfect. Said, had that match happened, she would have put on a clinic.
Yeah. And that's just building up so perfectly, because they're finally, Becky is going to get a hold of her. And wait, I hope they do this. I hope that, that Becky just knocks her from pillar to post. But then whoever's going to be her toady is going to come out and, attack Becky from behind. And then it's off to the races. And then from then on, she'll have her bodyguard. So, and it won't be Nia, obviously, because she's over there, but somebody that got in the wing somewhere. But anyway, Becky, I've talked about Becky here a lot. I love Becky. And I think I do think that she's just as good as the other four horsemen. And she showed that she can hang with Natalie. And she is outside of Bayley. The most classic and easy to love baby face of all the women. Easy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about The Miz.
Who?
The Miz.
That's an A-lister right there, pal.
I know. He's doing great. I love him as the champion.
I have a Miz t-shirt. I have the old classic... the name tag, I'm awesome. Which, by the way, of all the shirts that I own, including superhero shirts, that's the one I get more reactions from than any other. Not because they know who The Miz is, but because it's a perfect shirt just for a general reaction, because it says, I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And a name tag. And people say, well, hi, awesome. And then I always answer and says, my personal friends call me all. So, anyway. But I bought that shirt specifically because I liked The Miz. And I liked Miz back when he was teaming with Morrison.
I liked Miz and Morrison.
It was a great tag team. And he did a great job as U.S. champion and so on and so forth. And I liked his ascent to, the world title scene, so on and so forth. Then when he won, and then he kind of went off, and then he turned face, and it became very mediocre. And I got cold on Miz, very, very much so. And it wasn't his fault. It was just one of those things, I didn't care about how they were using him. But then, about a year ago last year or so, he's come back into his own, and he's been working this whole, deluded, Hollywood star thing. And now the addition of Maurice.
Oh, that's great.
He's just fun to watch, and I'm very enjoying him.
Yeah, he's getting back to where he was when he was the WWE champion, I think.
Correct.
And like his role in that whole thing between Cena and The Rock was great. Like he helped make that. I mean, obviously he was the champion, so he should have been the. And I remember him saying at the time, like, he didn't want to be overlooked in this whole Rock Cena rivalry. But yeah, he's kind of almost the male equivalent of Eva Marie.
Yeah, he is.
Because he still gets real heat. A lot of people still don't like him because he came from a reality show and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do. And now that's why this new shift to his gimmick that started, a while back, to being the whole movie star thing, that kind of plays to that, you know, to mm-hmm. the fact that he's got his foot in this other world, you know, and he's doing movies and this and the other, and he's got the hot blonde and all this and the other, and it's like, you know, he doesn't deserve any of this. He's not a real wrestler. He's not really one, you know, and his arrogance and so on and so forth. It just works perfectly. Plus, and the capper to it all, is that we see that he's come full circle and he's back to where he needs to be, is that he has brought back the I'm Awesome, which I was happy to hear.
Yep.
I'm still not sure how I feel about Apollo Crews, but I'm sure this will be a good match. I mean, I think it's a classic babyface versus heel. You know, I mean, they both do a good job at what they are.
Well, I think it's a great pairing in the fact that Miz is good at getting over these guys like yeah. that. Oh, he's a good heel, and if anybody's going to care about Apollo, he's better off going up against somebody like this than some of the other pairings I think they've had him with in the past. Him and Sheamus was not a good mix.
No. I like Apollo Crews, but I might be a little biased because he's another local guy that...
I think there's money in Apollo. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's got a great look, and he's obviously incredibly athletic, and he's just got this baby face, you know, big smile, you know, thing, and it can work, but it has to be worked the right way. I mean, it's one of those type of guys, I think, that just has to be just right, and, you know, and once he catches fire, he won't, you know, he won't stop. I mean, he'll be on fire until, you know, whenever, but he has to catch fire first, and so far he just hasn't quite done that with the mainstream crowd. But he will.
He's another one that could use a manager.
Yes, I think so.
Should have put him with Bob Backlund.
He would have been perfect with Bob. He really would. That would have been a great freaking pairing, yes, it would.
I was disappointed to see the primetime players reunite and then fizzle out again.
I don't know. That could be an interesting feud, though. The way they're building is a feud, and that could be just as interesting as them actually being a team again.
You didn't see Raw last night. They were a team again.
Did not. Oh, were they?
And Bob Backlund was their manager, and then Titus O'Neil walked out. Was that on the Hulu version?
It was not. I did not see that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, how'd they explain how they forgave him for freaking, you know, Pearl Harbor and...
They did a little earlier in the evening vignette thing where basically it wasn't explained very well, but
I hate it when they do that. I hate that. I don't know who in the world loves that in the backstage of Raw, but they love it, and I don't think it works. It never has worked. It'll work like on occasion if it's a big surprise, but I think they use it so damn often. You know, it's like they don't know how else to do it or something. But, you know, the whole – it just doesn't work, you know. So, yeah, that's a bad
– So
bad
they might deal. Be a pre-show fight.
Probably. And we'll see. I mean, you know, they have great chemistry as a tag team. I actually liked primetime players, and I thought they were
well together. They were getting great last year.
Yeah. And they've never been as good apart, except for now. I have liked Darren, you know, with just – well, that's more because of Bob than Darren, but here and there. But, you know, nothing against Darren, but, you know, I am liking it. It's interesting. Darren, you know, it's better than anything that Darren's done up until now other than primetime players. But it's possible, as we've seen in the past with past taking partners, they could have a good chemistry and could, you know, help each other feuding as much as they could teaming. So we'll see. I do think that Titus, when I have seen him do this sort of thing, I mean, he's missing out. They always want to post him as a babyface, and I get that, but I think he's got a lot of potential to be a very good heel. I mean, he's a big, strong, mean-looking fella.
I like him as a baby face, though, but I could see him being a good heel.
Yeah. Oh, I know. He's fine as a baby face. I'm just saying he's one of those guys I think that can do very well both ways. And I think the change is needed, and he can come back later and be even a bigger baby face.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to the title matches, and we'll save... Suplex City for last, I guess.
Viperville.
So, gosh, I was really hoping that wouldn't be a thing. So Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler first.
You're a deluded soul.
I know I am. I just hope. I did.
Soon as that came out of Randy's mouth, they're printing T-shirts now.
How you doing?
How you doing?
So Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose, you know, let's cover that one first. I thought this was weird, and I haven't seen all. For some reason, I've missed most of their contact with each other. Although it seems like they were working together for a lot, so they were playing babyface versus babyface. Is that kind of what you guys get?
They're both babyface, yeah. Though so, Dean's coming off more heelish.
Well, Dean, it's Stone Cold. They're trying to make him Stone Cold, because Stone Cold could stun anybody, and it wouldn't matter. And so I feel that that's what this feud is trying to do.
That's his Dean, and that's Moxley, and that is his character, and I'm liking it. They've finally divorced him from the whole bros thing with Roman, which was fine, but it's time for that to be over. And he pretty much said himself that that's over whenever he got into the triple threat and went for the title and so on and so forth. You know, this is his goal. This is his dream. He ain't relying on nobody. He ain't nobody's buddy. He ain't nobody's friend. So the comparisons that he's always had were Roddy Piper, Stone Cold, and Mick Foley and Brian Pillman. And those guys are kind of like that too, all of them, to some degree or another at certain points, and certainly have been the loners, the guys that nobody can really trust, but the fans love. And Dean has that all over, you know, and he should be that type of guy because fans want him to be that type of guy. So he comes out and he does these heel promos basically on Dolph, who is a guy who most, you know, some fans still like. But most fans, unfortunately, just don't care for him anymore. You know, they don't give a damn anymore.
Well, it's the writing. It's his booking. Well, sure. No, it's nothing against
Dolph. This is not a criticism of Dolph anymore, but Dean's criticisms make sense. They are things that we say or others have said, and it is truth. He was speaking truth. Dolph's responses to that were very good. Very excellent promos and so on and so forth. So, again, it's kind of this whole reality era thing that we've mentioned before. They're taking some of these real issues and they're bringing them into this program between the two of them. Unfortunately, while I think it has lifted Dolph a little, and I think that people are interested in it, and I think it's going to be a fantastic match, I think that at this point, anything short of Dolph actually winning is not going to matter. And the reason I say that is that people who I know watch this product, and they watch it all the time on the internet wrestling community and all the podcasts and all that and the other, and they all say the same damn thing. Even Dolph himself, when he was talking, you know, on the after show on the draft and so on and so forth, and even in his promos with on the first SmackDown and the SmackDown since then. And the fact that he hasn't won and he hasn't done this and he isn't bad or anything else. He had a match on Raw a few months ago against Triple H leading up to WrestleMania. And it was an incredible freaking match. It was a long match and he freaking wrestled his ass off and almost beat Triple H, who was the world champion. But nobody remembers that and nobody cares about that.
No. They still remember him wearing the jacket with the wrong band, the band right. Spelled wrong.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that I hear that a lot still.
Yeah, yeah. And part of it is because of the way they booked him, but part of it is just this new
Lana thing.
Mentality that people have, and they do. And I said I did it myself with Miz, you know. There comes to a point where the fans just kind of turn off on them. They're not hot anymore, and it takes a whole bunch for them to jump back on board. And they're doing it the right way with this feud, but I'm just afraid that him not winning against Dean is just going to just put him back right back on the back burner with the fans' minds.
This is definitely going to help Dean and he ain't
going to beat Dean, so it ain't going to happen. So anyway, hopefully I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I hope that this great program leads up to a great match and that it puts Dolph right there in the picture as one of the top guys again, and could potentially, you know, feud for the belt again or go with a mid-card belt or whatever. I hope that's the case. And part of that will be if he goes into a second program that's, you know, that's interest to fans as much as this one is. So let's see. What do you think, Jonathan?
I wonder why you're so certain he's not going to win.
I just think that they're really wanting to establish Dean as the top guy and continue with him as a top guy. I think that Dean certainly can survive a loss and then getting it back, you know, at a future pay-per-view. But I don't know whether SmackDown's people think that or not. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, let Dolph win it. Yeah. But I don't think.
I don't know. I could see Dolph winning and it, because a lot of this new era is very much about pleasing the fans or listening to the fans, at least.
I do think that Dolph winning would be the way to go. And, you know, proving himself and making all these things he's been saying actually back up the words that he's saying. That's my biggest beef with a lot of these things, that they have him say these great things and then never back them up. That's one of the biggest problems with Bray Wyatt. You know, Bray Wyatt says these incredible, wonderful, great things, and then he never backs them up hardly. And so the fans eventually say, well, whatever. You know, his words are meaningless. So what's the point? And so, you know, we've heard some of this with Dolph before, but he's really selling it better than he ever has before. And he's wanting to go out there and prove it. So, yes, the way that you write that story, the ending of that story is that Dolph triumphs.
That reminds me a little bit of when Ric Flair, you know, leading up to his retirement match, every match, if he lost, that was his last match.
Yeah.
Kind of similar, you know, but it's self-imposed. He's doing these things where he's putting his title shot on the line, and Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon are trying to talk him out of it.
You're absolutely right. That's a very good, way of looking at it. Here's the deal, though. Another reason why they need to do it this way is because, you know, because of the brand split and because, you know, Raw got more people, they need to reestablish some of these guys as top guys, you know, because they don't have that many top guys. And so Ziggler, who used to be pretty close to there and has always had the potential to be, and everybody in the industry, the boys love him, thinks he's one of the best things sliced bread. I mean, you got people from Bob Holly all the way to Ric Flair and everybody else that just can't talk good enough about him. Ric Flair wants to be his manager, you know. It couldn't be the bigger endorsement in the world.
Yeah.
So, finally, I think pull the trigger on this thing. And I don't want to be cynical on this. I'm saying basically my prediction of the match is cynicism, but I hope I'm wrong. And I hope that they do actually give Dolph the triumph here.
Yeah, well, I know we're not to the predictions part yet, but that's what I foresee for some reason. I think it's going to be a really good match, and I think Dean, I'm not a huge fan of Dean Ambrose, but I think he's already kind of at the level that they want him to be. He's already got the fans behind him, it seems, and he's established as the first top guy on SmackDown. And I don't think, regardless, I mean, I guess if Ambrose wins, Ziggler might be out of the title picture again, but I think if Ziggler wins, Ambrose is not going to be out of the title picture, and that can go on.
Oh, no, he'll go. Yeah, he'll go to the next.
He'll get it back eventually. You know, probably within the next two or three pay-per-views, if not sooner.
Yeah. So yeah,
I think we'll go to Raw because they're kind of doing the exact opposite, whereas they put somebody brand new into the title picture. You got Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, and the whole Demon King, which apparently is his new name. I mean, I know they've called him that a little bit previously, but they're really calling him that now. And
Raw is all about branding there, Richard.
That's right. But last night on this week's Raw, we actually saw, I was kind of shocked, as Seth went around the arena looking for him and stuff, and then Mick told him to go call him out in the middle of the ring and maybe he'll show up. And Finn Balor did his complete entrance last night. And I was kind of shocked by that. What do you think, Jonathan? I know John didn't see it.
I was kind of disappointed that he didn't save it for SummerSlam, but I also understand that that's a way to get people to watch SummerSlam, is to see, for anybody who may have never seen it in NXT or whatever, you know, it's more intrigue, like, what is this thing? Now I got to see what it is, and, you know, what it is, the whole thing, like an actual match with this character.
I just think it was a mistake. I think they could have shown him in the face paint and maybe even, like, you know, I don't know, like up on the ramp or something with barely, you know, a little light or something. But, I mean, he did his entire entrance. And yep. And they even made contact, you know, him and Seth. And so it kind of shocked me how much they give away. But I guess they don't look at it like that anymore because they don't really make money. They're not trying to get pay-per-view buys with the WWE Network, you know? I mean, so they're just trying to get you to watch it and get the network.
Yeah, they're trying to get subscribers, and that's going to be... If someone's like, oh, why would I get the network if they recap everything on Raw and SmackDown? But if you see something like that, then you might at least get your free month just to see the Demon King actually wrestle. And then maybe go back and see some of the NXT stuff where he did that. So I understand why it was done that way, but I would have preferred to just completely build up to SummerSlam and have him debut, you know, have a big entrance there.
Yeah, that should have been where it happened. Is that SummerSlam, you know, the big first time that the mainstream audience sees it. Yep. So
I kept hoping what happened last night when Seth Rollins was going around everywhere, like, have you seen the Demon King? I was hoping he'd turn a corner and Demon Kane would be standing there and he'd be like, no, Demon King.
That would have been great.
I just was waiting for it to happen.
That would have been great.
Like when Neville, did they show this on the Hulu version when he turns a corner and Neville's there?
Yes. And Neville's
like, oh, you don't know what you're dealing with. I've been in the ring with the Demon King.
They could have done a couple of those.
They could have had Kevin Owens even say it, you know.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Kane when he, like, they show Seth Rollins' face first and he says something like, oh, it's you, or something like that. I thought it was going to be Kane.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, I didn't like him, and Kane ain't got him history, that's for sure.
Yeah. Even just have Kane come up like, I heard you were looking for me.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so, this is interesting. This is a big deal. You know, new title, new first champion. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they work this thing. You know, I'm sure that, and I haven't been plugged in. Like I said, I've been out of touch the last, you know, several days, almost a week. So what's the scuttlebutt on this? Is there a lot of rumors about possible, you know, Bullet Club thing or something?
I haven't heard anything about the Bullet Club, really. I mean, we're not to predictions, but Baylor gets this. I mean, he's going to be the face of Raw.
It's funny. It's possible.
That's what I hope for.
Yeah. I think that's what I would like, but I Rollins is...
Rollins is solid. I mean, he's solid, but Finn will make money. He will sell merchandise. His figures will go crazy.
You're absolutely right, but this is almost on a... And this is why, I mean, this is the... we're separating the prediction thing, but here's the deal, okay? With guys like this, in this situation, and again, don't get me wrong, he worked the other way because obviously he worked that way in NXT because he was champ and it worked. But sometimes the faces like this need to be chasers. And you need a good heel champ for them to go after. And Rollins is perfect for that. Rollins is a great freaking heel champ. He's proven that last year. Especially if he has the right opponents. And Finn Balor would be a perfectly great opponent. But you have to have it work where the babyface is strong and it's circumstantial why he keeps losing, you know, cheating or whatever. So my proposal is that either Finn wins straight out and he is the face and he is the big top babyface champ and all this, that, and the other for Raw, or they decide to go with the chase and have Finn continually chase Rollins until he finally does get it, they say, at Royal Rumble or something like that, or maybe sooner, you know, at the Hell in a Cell, whichever the next big one is. And in the meantime, you know, how Rollins actually does it is in a big swerve, not only to, you know, the audience watching and the audience, you know, there, and but the internet wrestling community and so on and so forth. And they do have Rollins go over cheating with the help of the Bullet Club. And yeah. the Anderson and Doc, Luke Gallows works with Rollins from that point on. And Rollins becomes part of the Bullet Club.
Could work. I mean, nobody'd see it coming, really, I don't think.
And that's the thing. I don't think, I'm sure there must be some people out there have thought of it too, but people haven't been discussing this and thinking about this. And to me, it's perfect. Rollins is a perfect fit for the club.
Yeah.
You know, and so he would be the perfect guy. And everybody keeps calling for Finn to be with the club, but I think Finn, the way he's been built in NXT and WWE now, he doesn't belong to the club. You know,
nah, I don't,
he's a baby face. And he is a, like you said, he's money as a baby face, you know, champ or baby face top guy for the Raw brand. So he does not need to be with the club. Well, so,
and their motivation for that could be that I think he was the first one to leave.
He was their first one to leave, yes.
And he created the Bullet Club, right?
So he
left them leaderless, and then, of course, yes. AJ Styles stepped in. Correct. He left for NXT, and, you know, they built this thing without him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was popular when he was there, but it definitely took off after he left. I don't think that's because he left.
Yeah.
I just
the story, like, yeah. Exactly, he just had to leave, you know. But they did do the thing. But it's a you're right. It writes itself, and you could just hear Seth Rollins talk about it on the next Raw, you know,
because he's already acknowledged that he's already, you know, the same way they've been acknowledging people's past, you know, in other ways. He acknowledges that he was somebody else somewhere else. I don't think he came out and said it, but he's already kind of planted those seeds.
Yes, he has. And so you have Rollins and Gallows and Anderson come out and they explain the whole thing. Is that you turned your back on us once. Well, we are getting our revenge on you now. And we found somebody that fits our thing perfectly. And we're going, you know, we're the tag team champs because I'm predicting they win the tag team champs. And Rollins is the Universal champ. And, you know, there they are holding the gold, you know. And I think that would work so beautifully.
All right, since we're kind of talking predictions, let's finish up and talk about Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, and then we'll shoot off our predictions and go from there. And so this is the first time they've ever met. Is it just a long time?
They met in certainly OVW, and I think they had a one or two matches maybe on SmackDown back when Brock was on top. But Randy,
it's their first pay-per-view match.
Yeah, it's their first pay-per-view match, and it's their first match of them both being superstars, big superstars. Mm-hmm. Randy was not; it was just beginning when he first came in and, well, you know, faced Brock before. This is the first time the two have faced since both of them have reached the levels of superstardom that they've had. So,
and I think Brock Lesnar was the youngest heavyweight champion until Randy Orton.
So Randy beat it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point too.
So when this match was first announced, I think we all were kind of underwhelmed or just not very interested. But as things like that have been mentioned, I've actually gotten a little more interested in it. I think it's going to be a really good match for sure. But,
that's the whole thing. I was never completely down on the match. These are two of my favorite guys, and so I'm just not invested into, you know, the thing as much. But I am more invested than I would be otherwise because this is a new matchup. This is a fresh matchup. You know, certainly, yeah. You know,
and well, that so, was
That was my... and the fact that both of them are very good. The only doubt I have, because Randy can go, certainly, he's one of the better in-ring guys, and Brock can. I'm just bored with Brock and the Suplex City thing. I want him to do more than just that, you know. And that's just me. I know it's over. It's still over. People like it. They want to see it. And I ain't saying completely do away with it, but Randy and Brock could actually put on a really good, good match. If they, you know, or it's so inclined to do so. But it'll be good regardless. I'm just saying it would be even better that way.
Yeah. Well, I think my first thought on it, when they announced it, I was just kind of like, why? Like, why are these... aside from the fact that you need somebody big to put Randy Orton in the ring with for his comeback.
The reason why, I think, is the same reason why... You know, the people that face Undertaker, you know, usually have to be this name, you know, with Brock himself being the one that finally broke the streak. I think they just, because it was SummerSlam, Brock needed a partner, or somebody to wrestle. There's really not any other big names that, in the, you know, big names of WWE guys in the last 10 years that he's faced.
At first, I questioned why, and then they've told us why, so now it's more intriguing.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to step on him.
Oh, that's okay.
Go ahead, Richard. You said something.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really care about this match when they announced it, just like Jonathan had said. And but I think they've done a good job building it with the RKO out of nowhere. Yeah. Orton seems to show his personality that's been missing for 10 years, probably.
Yeah, that's been a big part of it.
My gosh, I mean. Why didn't he do this sooner? I mean,
maybe he took some kind of acting classes or improv classes while he was out.
I don't know, but he went. I mean, his first, what was it, the Jericho thing? That was just the best. That was a great interview between the two of them. And I've never liked Orton as a face, but he's really good, and I think he could be something.
Instead of just
a mid-carder, which, or maybe upper, I mean, I guess he's upper carder, but he could really start to make some money if he's smart.
Well, you know, I think it's just as simple as it seems like, for whatever reason, I don't know why it would be or what caused it, he just seems more relaxed. He just seems far more relaxed, and he's out there actually having fun. And maybe it's because he knows that he only has so much time. He's been injured, and he's older now, and things are changing. And he has new, you know, the new era, and all this and the other. And he just sees the writing on the wall, and he's just going to enjoy the rest of his time there. So, and so I hope that's the case, and it's been enjoyable, and so on and so forth. And so, anyway, that closes that segment of the Randy Orton fan club. Not.
Well, I never thought I'd be a part of that one.
So, yes. Yeah. Excellent.
So, I guess we can go ahead and go to the predictions real quick over everything.
I'm kind of going off the wall here. I think Randy wins it. I really do. I think Randy actually wins it because Randy, a couple of reasons. One, because Brock has had this whole cloud over him.
Yeah.
And I think that Randy's making his big comeback. This will be his first, you know, big match since he's been back. And because of the RKO. The RKO is one of those protected moves in all of wrestling. If he gets it, nobody will doubt Brock going down for 3 seconds.
I love the Diamond Cutter RKO. It's great.
So, and you can't necessarily bank on this because, you know, if there's anything that Paul Heyman's really good at, it's lying. But when he did that big show over there and talked to the audience over there for the British WrestleTalk TV, he mentioned at one point, he mentioned the match, and he said that, You know, the RKO out of nowhere thing, so on and so forth. You know, not that I'm saying that's how the match is going to end or nothing. You know, so, you know, you kind of brings the doubt in or whatever, and so you don't know. But, you know, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with RKO out of nowhere.
All right. I'm writing all these down, actually. So, good. The next show, we will see who wins.
Oh, we need a prize.
Oh, we need a prize. That's not in the budget. Jonathan, we'll start with this match and work our way backwards. So who do you what's your opinion on this one?
I don't really know how to go. I think if Orton wins, it'll set up a WrestleMania match for sure, a WrestleMania rematch. I guess that could be the case either way. But I could see him winning and then, you know, Paul Heyman rallying for vindication or whatever, and it happening at WrestleMania, because Brock's going to go away for a while either way, because he always does, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
he might come back for something like the Royal Rumble in between, but I don't know. I guess I'm leaning more towards Randy Orton winning, but I could see it going either way, honestly. And I don't think one RKO out of nowhere is going to happen. I think there's going to be a couple, at least two or three F5.
I think it'll be an RKO out of the F5. And of course, that's what everybody says. But
unless it's out of a soup somehow.
Yeah.
But I think out of an F5.
Oh, the German suplex?
If they could figure it out. My pick is Randy as well. I'm just going to...
ESO Pro is the Randy Orton pick.
Well, it just... Honestly, it makes sense. You don't get anything with Brock right now. You made the point of he's got the little bit of bad heat against him with the UFC stuff. He's going to go away. If Orton loses, then he loses a lot more than if Brock wins.
Yeah, and unless SmackDown loses that diminishes Randy as a top guy.
Yeah.
And if he goes over Brock here, and then he goes into a program with whoever he may go into a program with, like on SmackDown, like maybe Bray, and Bray beats Rock, Randy.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Finn and Seth Rollins, John.
Like I said, I'm going with Seth winning, hopefully with shenanigans from the Bullet or from the club, and he becomes part of the new club and he becomes the heel champion that Finn has to, you know, strive to eventually overcome after some struggle and making the triumph all the better.
Jonathan.
Again, I'm torn. I could see it going either way. I think I would prefer, just looking at it objectively as a wrestling fan, I would, like everybody else, I'd probably want to see Finn Balor win. But I had similar thoughts of, well, I was trying to think of how would the club get involved if they're going to, and I was thinking somewhat similarly that they might get involved on Seth Rollins' behalf. So I guess I'm going to agree with John.
You're okay. A good man, John.
Well, I'm breaking the fan club up and going with Finn Balor on this one. I just think that he could be the face of Raw. But I agree with you guys after hearing that kind of circumstance. That's pretty good.
Richard, I completely agree with you. He is going to be the face of Raw, should be the face of Raw.
He doesn't necessarily need the belt for it.
Exactly.
I mean,
look at Sting. Sting is always been considered and has still considered like the face or the guy of WCW. He has not got the champ runs of Flair or Luger or Vader or any of those other guys.
Even Finn Balor in NXT, I think he went out. Did he win any of those Samoa Joe matches? He lost the title to him, and then they had
match
in Atlanta.
No, he didn't. No.
Mm-mm. And then I know he had at least one or two matches with Nakamura, and I don't know who won those matches either. But my point is, he left NXT pretty much on a losing streak, and still came in with all this momentum to Raw.
Yeah. All right, Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler.
I think Jonathan's talked me into it. I'm going with Ziggs.
You're going. You've turned. I'm going
with Ziggs. You've turned me. I think I like the story too much. I would mark out. So hope against hope. Dolph Ziggler.
And Jonathan, is that who you're still staying with?
I am.
Okay.
The only thing that I think is unpredictable, or that I'm not that I'm certain that Dolph Ziggler is going to win, but the wild card I think is either of them going to kind of turn heel, and if so, who will it be? Because I could see either one of them turning heel, and if it's Ambrose, that would go. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a heel turn as much as just him being more Stone Cold rebellious, like. Because Stone Cold did a lot of stuff that was heel-like, but people liked him for it. So I could see that happening with Ambrose as well.
Well, just to go against y'all, I'm going with Ambrose. So.
Why is that?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I just feel like Ambrose should keep it. I love Dolph Ziggler, but it's hard. WWE has just made it very hard for me to back him. And,
yeah, told you.
I mean, it's true. I mean, and you didn't do enough to convince me, John, like you did, John.
Darn.
I could see either one winning in this situation, but I just like to keep a title. I have a couple of the other title changes, so. This one I would like to keep.
So you like Dean. He's not as big of a fan of Dean. Let's you and him fight.
I'll pass. All right. Sasha and Charlotte. John, I don't even... Jonathan, you're next. I'll just put Sasha's name on John's and...
no, because I think Charlotte's going to get it back.
You think? Okay.
Because she looks, I mean, Sasha, again, it's the same thing. Sasha's like Sting or Ricky Steamboat or whatever.
Yeah.
She's better at chasing it. She had the triumphant moment. It was a great thing. It was great for the first night of Raw, you know, after the brand split, so on and so forth. But Charlotte is going to get it back. And because she's just great, just like her dad was as a heel champ.
Who do you think, Jonathan?
I agree. Yeah. I think Charlotte's going to win. And I think obviously, that feud will continue because if Sasha wins, the feud's pretty much over.
Yeah.
Yep. And so then, a lot of crying. Bailey will cry.
Yeah.
I do wonder. Do you know when Emma is predicted to be back? Because I wonder if she's just going to join
know.
Up. If they're going to kind of slowly create a four.
That would be great. That would be I hope so.
She and is it Dana Brooke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, they were together, and then
yes, they were.
Emma left, and she just went straight over to Charlotte. So,
so who would you think is a four for there? Possibly Mia.
I don't know. I mean, they don't have to have actually four.
No, they don't. But I'm just saying, if you were to think, but because she would be a good bodyguard, whatever. But that kind of takes away Dana, because Dana's supposed to be the muscle girl. But anyway, yes,
that could also
I would love to see Emma come back. That would be a perfect good way to do it. Emma being the dirty little girl that she could be.
Or she could come back and be upset and they could feud with each other. It could go either way, but I think I'd rather see her just join up with them and create a female stable.
That would allow them. Dana's still so very green, but she's got a lot of potential. It was good to put her with Charlotte because it kind of hides her and helps her. If Emma's there, who is also damn good, that will help hide Dana even a little better, getting tag team matches where Emma can take the brunt. And I think that would be a good little thing to happen, which is what originally the plan was, her and Emma being a tag team. I think Emma coming back would be a great way of doing that. And, of course, I just want to see Emma back, so there's that.
All right, Miz and Apollo Crews.
Miz, they need to put the belt on Apollo.
I'm going to say Miz, too, but I think... I think it's because Apollo would be a better chaser sort of thing. I think Miz is good with a belt. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to put on now, but I think he's going to eventually, and maybe this is the start of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
But no, Miz is going home.
For some reason, I feel like Apollo Crews is going to win this one. Okay. I agree with the thing, you know, the same scenario that we've talked about in all these other cases, that it might be better if Miz wins and Apollo keeps chasing it. But I think either way, there's going to be a rematch. Because if the Miz loses, he's going to, as the heel, going to want his rematch, and maybe he'll win the next one, and that'll, you know, Apollo will chase him again, or I don't know. I think Apollo Crews has got this one.
All right, Cena and AJ.
Oh boy,
this is a tough one. I think
it's a real tough one. I want AJ to win.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Cena.
I'll go with AJ. I just because I want it.
Okay. Well, there's a difference in what you want and what you think's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'd like to see AJ win, but I think Cena's going to win.
I do think
they'll cross paths quite a
Maybe
bit.
Maybe if it gets written down on paper, it might happen. I'm going sticking with AJ.
Okay. Enzo and Big Cass versus Jericho.
Jericho, if they continue on with the Jericho thing another month or two, then they'll probably win through shenanigans. I don't think they are, sadly. So, yeah, and Enzo and Cass are so hot right now, I think Enzo and Cass win. And, of course, KO eventually gets tired of Jericho and walks out on the match.
Yeah, me too. What do you think, Jonathan?
I think this might be a more what I'd like to see than what I think will happen, but
I would never do that.
I think the Jericho Kevin Owens thing is going to go on for a while and then have a big blow up somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, you know, they're going to have some success, and maybe Kevin Owens is going to start to see like, well, maybe this is, cause he's been kind of the one that's doesn't feel like he's completely on board so far. But I think they might win this match and then win some more matches, or have a feud with Enzo and Cass, and then, you know, maybe down the road they finally lose a match and blame each other and have a big blow up at, who knows, Royal Rumble or something.
Well, you know, I think that's right. I think there's potential, and I think the way that they've been doing these things, there's not only is it just good for Jericho to stay together, but to stay in a feud with these two guys, because what are you going to do with them otherwise? So this is a good program that they could stretch out, not just for one pay-per-view. So I'm changing. Yeah. I'm going with Jericho winning.
All right. Well, I'm staying with
Enzo. I just think they're just a convincing guy, John.
Golly, don't drink the water.
Just call me Jonathan Wyatt.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have fireflies around the ESO Pro shop here.
I was one of the 100,000 fireflies, pal. I'm a special member of a club.
All right, Gallows and Anderson versus New Day. John, you've already said Gallows and Anderson.
Yep.
I'm going to agree with you and Jonathan.
Yeah, I agree. And that's who I want to win as well.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Me too. New Day's run their title run for now.
And they don't need them. Honestly, absolutely don't need them.
So. Rusev and Reigns.
Rusev, I hope. Oh, God, I hope. Please, 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 please.
I don't mind the fact that Roman...
I don't either. Honestly,
but I love Rusev.
I am not against Roman. I am not an anti-Roman guy, other than when they were really needing... He just wasn't going to work as the top guy right now. And they needed a retooling, whatever. This is part of that. Bring him down, have him wrestle for the U.S. title. But Rusev is just... I'm loving this reign. I don't want it to end. That's the only reason why I say I want Rusev certainly to retain.
Jonathan?
I think Reigns wins, but Rusev gets it back maybe at the next pay-per-view or something. I don't think Rusev's out of the picture, but I do think Roman Reigns is going to win this one.
You might be right. All right, Cesaro.
Don't let him mile you. Don't let him change your mind.
No, I still... He might be right, but I'm still going to go with Rusev because that's what I want, and I don't care what...
Well, again, that's what I want, too. I know. But I think Reigns wins.
Yeah, this is a way to get Reigns back maybe into some sort of spotlight. All right, and the final one is the Cesaro versus Sheamus. And this is best of seven, so it doesn't really matter. I mean,
I'll
go with
Cesaro.
Yeah, that's where I went.
Yeah, me too.
You too, okay. Yeah, I think they'll start the show off with this. Of course, sometimes they're weird about that. And
by the way, yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes they're weird about that and start off like Cena and AJ or something, but I think this should start off the pay-per-view, and I think it'd be good.
Probably. Okay, just in case, they do go with a pre-show of Titus and Darren, who are we going with there?
I think Darren Young. Titus O'Neil's, I think, beaten him twice already, right? And then walked out on a tag match.
Oh, yeah, Darren and Darren, because if nothing else, I want to see Darren and Bob celebrate. So.
Yeah, I would say Young too, and I'll put that down. All right.
By the way, does anybody suspect that Bob's going to eventually turn on Darren on this thing?
I would think.
Well,
eventually.
I was about to say that. I was going to say he might. This might be where it happens. He might lose his faith in him and see something more in Titus O'Neil.
Right.
Or something.
Okay. Especially since this persona was a heel thing for Bob more than a face thing back in the day. So. Anyway, nevertheless, real quick, I want to touch on something with Cesaro. I have complained about it on this podcast more than once. I was vindicated when I found out when he was interviewed at one point. Oh, yeah, it was on. He was talking to Renee Young on Unfiltered. And I was vindicated in that Cesaro is. No fan of his opening alarm than I am on his theme music, the car alarm. And he even called it a car alarm.
He is not a fan of it?
He is not a fan of it, no. He doesn't like it. It's like, I don't like it. And it's scary because I loved it when he first started using it, when he was with Heyman, when it was the tornado alarm. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But the car alarm is just so tinny and so bleh. So, but I'm happy that Cesaro doesn't like it too. We're like minded on it. Not that he's unhappy, but that he's unhappy about that because it makes me right. Okay, well, folks, I hope you go enjoy the SummerSlam. Come back and see if we got any of this right, or who, how many, or which one of us got most right, because we're going to review the show next week. After it's all over, so, a rare weekly podcast appearance. So just hang on and let us know what you think and give us your predictions. Come on, come get some participation. I know you're out there listening. Don't be shy. Talk to us. So in the meantime, I'm going to let Richard tell us all the places that you can find us and all the things that are related to the things you need to go and see and participate in.
Well, you can find us on the SO Network, and obviously we're amongst a great group of podcasts there. You can go to the ESONetwork.com. You can shop the Amazon store there, and that throws a little bit of space
lucre.
The ESO way. What's that?
I said lucre.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the Facebook page, that's the home, really, of the ESO Pro. And so it's facebook.com/ESO Pro. And that's where you can find us.
WCW forever, Turnbuckle Thursday forever.
Oh, yeah. We got all sorts of great things. I like Turnbuckle Thursday, by the way.
I do, too. Thank you.
Jonathan, you got anything you want to plug?
Well, as always, please check out WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. And if you are going to Dragon Con, I'm actually going to be part of a few panels, thanks to Joe Crow. One of them is Sci Fighters, which is, I guess, something that they do every year in the American Sci-Fi Classics track, where it's kind of like fantasy booking. But this year, it's going to be 80s wrestlers versus 80s action heroes or something like that, action stars.
It is, yes.
So I'm going to be part of that, which is wrestling related. I'm also going to be on the Heroic History of G.I. Joe panel with Larry Hama, apparently. Or is it Hama?
Hama.
I'm not sure.
It's Hama.
And various others. I don't know if you want me to name all of them, but I'll be on some panels, and you can come see me, as well as other ESO personalities from other podcasts, including Joe Crow.
He's
the director of that track, I believe.
He's him and Gary Mitchell.
Yeah.
They are. All right, guys.
So, anyway, and this has nothing to do with wrestling, but I co-authored a Western novel with Chuck Dixon. And if you're into Westerns, it'll be on sale. It's on pre-order now for Kindle, and hard copies will come in here soon. And it's on Amazon. It's called Snake Hand, Sidewinders Book 1. Look it up.
Woo-hoo. You'll like it. Yeah, congratulations.
It does have something to do with wrestling, as we talked about off-air. Because he created Bane, who was a
luchador. That's right, Bane with the luchador mask. So there, yeah, there you go. And so, to buy it.
And he wrote for G.I. Joe, which has all kinds of wrestling connections. That's Sharp, Slaughter, Rock.
Yeah, congratulations on that, Jordan. That's awesome news.
Thank you. So anyway. So I hope you enjoy it. But anyway, I know you'll enjoy it. I'm not hoping nothing. You will enjoy it. So anyway. I want to say goodnight to Jonathan Williams, who is always great in giving his eyewitness reports and interviews, and is great with our little round table here, and always Richard, who this show would not be able to be possible without, and me, who allows me to blow a lot of hot air every 2 weeks. So anyway, folks, I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.